Welcome back. Hopefully everyone's doing well. Thanks for taking a little bit of time out of your day as we continue our quest through CFFL lore over the past years. We've been making our way through the CFFL all-time and all-time not positional players. Again, just trying to give a little context to what our league has been. And what some of the who some of the best performers have been at their respective positions over time. Yesterday we did the wide receivers. Today we're going to be doing the tight ends. Tight end is a very interesting spot, very recency heavy position. Like, what do you mean by that? We had a major scoring change about halfway through our history that would kind of boost tight ends a little bit and maybe take off some of the supply-demand issues that would come with running backs and wide receivers. That's why we had some of the other – had some of the rules that were put in place there. So – say, I think it's around 2015, we decided that we were going to go to two tight ends, and then we were also going to make scoring 1 point for every 5 receiving yards. Catches, touchdowns were still the same. But, you know, there were a few people who kind of outperformed the expectation before that. But when you really start to look at what some of these numbers have been, most of the players are from the more recent history. If you look at some of the earlier years' results, very little impact at the tight end position. And without making tight end more, I don't want to call it desirable, but if it didn't really contribute more to a quality performance, and then you're looking at it and saying, well, what's the point of having them? And with every position you eliminate, the more valuable you make running backs and wide receivers. And then you have this mundane league where everyone's just going through and picking a running back and then picking a wide receiver, then picking a running back and then picking a wide receiver. And I just think that lacks complexity, creativity, imagination, which is one of my fundamental issues with most NFL fantasy football leagues, is that it's a bunch of middle-aged people sitting around staring at a laptop and just picking a running back. And just to feel like there could be a more creative way to go about things. So, because I just cleared my throat. Here, let's take a look at the bottom performers of tight ends. Probably give you a dollar if you know any of these players, because this is the format that we've started with all of them. And this is definitely not a who's who of anyone. These are some very unspectacular names. These probably have less to do with the actual player rather than owners just running them back out there. Some honorable mentions, our boy Wes Saxton from South Alabama, Brad A 2014, Zach LaFever from Buffalo, Pino C 2019, Tyler Cameron, Florida Atlantic, 2016. Evan Butts, UVA, 2018 for Christian M. That brings us to our bottom 10. And we'll go from least worst to the worst performance. And I will say the commish in 2021 had as bad a tight end run as you could get. As I sit here, the number 10 and number 9 tight ends were both on my 2021 team, Daniel Barker and Ben Bresnahan, 9 and 7 starts respectively. Total together, they scored 50.8 points. That was pretty bad. Barker with a -1.61 WAR. Ben Bresnahan with a -1.65 WAR. And we got Al G, Nick Vanette, Ohio State, 2015, 11 starts, a whopping 32 points, a WAR of -1.66. After that, KCG, excuse me, just had something in the throat there for a second. So KCG, 2014, Oregon, Johnny Munt, actually didn't score a point for him in 8 starts, which resulted in a -1.7 WAR, which is fascinating that there are actually players who scored more and contributed to more of a losing outcome. Austin Stogner, I don't know if I said that correct, Oklahoma 2021, a -1.74 for the Fighting Paul Elves. And then Al G, we talked about this in his Missed Opportunity podcast. Alize Mack, 11 starts in 2017. Al just kept running them out there, scoring 4.89 points per contest. Good for a -1.74 WAR. And then number 4 and number 3, both the property of Brad A, Kelvin Smith from Syracuse and Daniel Helm from Duke. Smith was in 2019. Helm was in 2017. Together, 19 starts. Together, they scored a combined 64 points. Smith, a -1.74 WAR, and Helm, a -1.91 WAR. Coincidentally, I don't think Brad A was very good those years. When you're giving back that kind of production, a lot of these teams on here struggle. Not all of them, but a good bit of them did, or they were really good in other areas, and then this contributed to them not living up to their potential. Number 2, Paul L. Lewis Dorsey, Illinois, 2018, 8 starts, 0 points, a WAR of -1.97. Poor Lewis Dorsey didn't do anything to hurt anyone, but he'll go down as an all-time underperformer. And last but not least, you all know Kyle Fortenberry from Western Kentucky in 2019 for PNOC. He grabbed 1.56 points per contest, a total of 14 points, a WAR of -2.13. There you have it. Kyle Fortenberry, the worst tight end in CFFL history. Which brings us all the way to the top now. And again, I think you're not seeing a whole lot in the middle years or the beginning years of the CFFL. But you'll see a few names pop in there. Some names you're like, oh man, I forgot about him. And a good cutting point. 10th overall, still in the NFL, I believe. Yeah, he should still be in the NFL. With the Patriots, I believe. Jonu Smith, Florida International in 2014. 10 starts, 20.46 points when the average was 9.23. I believe this was the year before we actually increased the scoring. So you may say, well, would he have moved up on this list? You got to remember that this compares performance to the year. So that average would have gone up. His average would have gone up, but his excess performance would have remained the same. So in that regard, no. Just because he would have scored more in later years doesn't mean he would have necessarily had a better overall performance. Not that anyone's really caring, right? So Jonu Smith comes in at 10 with a 2.59 WAR. Number 9, another Gosh, this is probably borderline Hall of Famer at this point. Mark Andrews from Oklahoma in 2017. He, interestingly, I think at one point was listed as a wide receiver, and then they moved him to tight end. But 21.71 points per contest for Brian S. When the average was 11.64, good for a 2.6 WAR. 2022, Kevin B. Drafts tight ends pretty well. Dalton Kincaid, Utah, 8 starts, 21.9 average, a 2.83 WAR for Kevin B. Dalton Kincaid in 2022. Another 2022 addition. Seventh overall season. I will say this, we may be looking at one of the best tight ends. He has a chance, I guess. There's a couple ahead of him that maybe have better careers in the CFFL, but there's a chance that this individual could end up having the best. Brock Bowers, Napa Valley kid, right? KCG product in 2022, I believe first round draft pick, with a 2.97 WAR. Position average 10.78, 20.12 points per start. Okay. And that brings us to number six, Jeremy P., 2016, Evan Engram, 10 starts, 275 points, 27.5 points per start, 12.76 average, good for a 3.16 WAR. Again, you start getting into that, you're over 3 WAR, you are a CFFL Hall of Famer. And then that brings us to the top five. A pivotal part of the 2021 Jeremy P. run, Trey McBride, Colorado State, 10 starts, 284.3 points, a WAR of 3.19, a major contributor to his fourth CFFL title. Number four, Jalen Samuels, always difficult for us to kind of fit in. Samuels was listed as a tight end, kind of played in the backfield and H-back, kind of moved him all around. He didn't really look like a tight end, but figure for some value, we would put him in there, keep him at his original designation, a 3.37 WAR. Some of that definitely contributed by rushing and rushing touchdowns. So when you're looking at him, you know, we'll see how CFFL history remembers him, if there's an asterisk besides some of his performance, but good production for KCG in 2017. Okay, now we're talking about, this is the cut above the cut. So Jalen Samuels was number four on this list. His WAR was 20th all-time in the CFFL. The last three that we're looking at here are all top seven CFFL all-time. Wonder if you can guess who they are. So coming in number three overall at the tight end position, seventh overall, Bobby L., 2022, Michael Mayer. And Michael Mayer has had back-to-back strong seasons. I want to say over a 6 WAR in 2 years. And that's kind of what Brock Bowers may or may not get to. 24.2 points per start, 10.78 average, 3.84 WAR in 2022 for Bobby L. A major piece that we talked about in the podcast about his lost season. Coming in right in front of him, sixth all-time WAR, Harrison Bryant in 2019 with the commish at Florida Atlantic, 305.2 points, 25.4 points per start, a WAR of 3.9. You start getting up around a 4 WAR, you're like in the elite wing of the CFFL Hall of Fame. But there was one person in front of Harrison Bryant's 2019 season, and this would be the 2013 season for Jeremy P. Didn't end in a title, but still an incredible performer for him. This is a name that you may or may not remember, Jace Amaro. So he was a Texas Tech tight end back when Texas Tech was still – this was after Leach, but they were still throwing the ball around a lot before Mahomes. Amaro was 6'6", 250. He was a legit tight end. He was not a wide receiver playing tight end. I even looked it up before just to double check. Drafted in the second round of the NFL, I believe, but just never really quite lived up to his performance at the college level. But Jason Morrow, 11 starts, 340.5 points, an average of 30.95 points per contest, when other tight ends in the league were averaging just a little over 11 points per contest. That was good for a WAR of 4.33. That, and like I said, you're over a 4 WAR. You are the best players in CFFL history. Like, only 1% of the players get to a 3 WAR, but to get to a 4 is, you're the top of the top at that point. So that was some of the highest performers there. So you may say, or some of the other ones, like, you know, Gerald Everett. What was a quality performer? If we're looking at draft history WAR, like Gerald Everett for Bobby L, I believe he's still in the NFL. He's like a 1-4. He's taking the second round. Adam Brenneman, 2017 for Kevin B. He, I would say like a 1.76 WAR. I mean, solid season. But, you know, some of these other ones are major hitters here. Jason Morrow, McBride, Bowers, Kincaid. Kincaid going in the sixth round for Kevin B last year. Arguably, maybe the best draft pick in all of the CFFL 2022 draft. Joel Wilson, Eric Ebron, almost 2 WAR. Caden Smith, James Casey, all the way back in 2008. Casey Pierce from Kent State, 2014. And then I believe still in the NFL. I'm going to try to say this name, and I'm going to butcher it, but another first-round draft pick for Kevin B. Kevin B. loving the tight ends. Albert Okwuegbunam from Mizzou. I know I just butchered that. Sorry. So, yeah, been some great performers over the time when we overtime in the league. When we take a look at who were some of the greatest underperformers beyond from a draft perspective standpoint, you know, Bobby L. took Mitchell Wilcox in the 2019 draft and the very, very end supplemental portions of the first round resulted in a -1 WAR. The commish took Michael Ezeki, second round of 2022. Sadly, out resulted in 1.2 WAR. Seeing if there's any other first round just flame outs here. Doesn't really look like it. You got some second, third round disappointments here. But really, the tight ends that were taken early contributed and contributed a lot. But I guess it comes back to there were years that the tight end position just, I don't want to call it a graveyard, but it's just an area where people, they didn't really add much. They didn't hurt you all that much. But just a lot of like right around a 0 WAR, maybe a little higher, a little lower. But I mean, even like good players like struggle. Like people went on to have like decent careers in the pros. Just it was very unspectacular. I guess is probably the best way for us to discuss that. Whereas now I think there's a little bit more excitement around the position, at least some value. At the position, what if you decide that you want to build your team around that, which is a pretty smart strategy in itself. Yeah, so that brings us to the end of our little series here. The mark has been made. CFFL all-time tight ends, all-time not tight ends. And we'll be moving on. There's a couple different topics that we're going to be looking at, but excited to finish this part up. You can always listen to these podcasts wherever. If you're listening to it, you already know how to find it, right? But it's on all the different podcast platforms or CFFLHQ.com. We will call it there. Hopefully everyone has an awesome day. Be talking soon. Be back on live here before you know it. Take care, everyone.